Welcome to Casual Fridays with me, Jerry Davich, and Karen Walker and Tom Maloney. Have you heard of the Police Bible Ministry, the brainchild of Gus and Roberta Flores of East Chicago, where Gus served as police chief? The couple has made hundreds of homemade nut rolls to raise money for their project, which gives custom-inscribed Bibles to police officers across Northwest Indiana. We'll talk to them in a couple minutes. We'll also talk with Brett Parlock, who figured he had his life mapped out as a single guy in the corporate world. And then he met Kevin Schaefer. They fell in love and adopted a baby girl from California. They have new jobs, a new home, and a new plumbing business. All that and more. And is the Valpo Family YMCA simply exercising its right to appease as many members as possible? Or is the new Donald Trump-led America kind of already flexing its muscles in Valparaiso? I wrote a column about this issue, and it's now being reported by national news networks, ironically enough. All that and more on today's Casual Fridays. Just stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after these brief news headlines.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it is Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come into our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
I was going to cuss, but I did not.
No, thank you.
Thank God.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom Maloney. New to our show. Thank you. Our show on the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart, and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
That's right. And if you miss any part of today's show, no worries. It's re-aired at 7 o'clock tonight and posted online, lakeshorepublicmedia.org. You can find all of our previous shows,
including ones like today's show that feature ordinary region residents experiencing extraordinary things.
Like what, Karen?
Roberta Flores, wife of former East Chicago Police Chief Gus Flores, had made hundreds of homemade delicious nut rolls to raise money for the couple's Police Bible Ministry project, which gives custom-inscribed Bibles to police officers across Northwest Indiana to help protect them, guide them, and comfort them.
Yep, that's right. And some big, tough macho cops from East Chicago PD, at least I'm told, broke down into tears when they received their special Bible from Gus. So on today's show, we'll talk with Roberta and hopefully Gus, he's at a court hearing, we're told, about their ministry and how you, Lakeshore listeners, can help get more Bibles into police officers' hands. How? By ordering Roberta's delicious homemade nut rolls.
Later in the show, we'll talk with Brett Parlock, who figured he had his life mapped out as a single guy in the corporate world. Then he met Kevin Schaefer.
That's right. They fell in love, figuring they had their lives mapped out together. And then another curveball. Then they adopted a baby girl from California, Leah Rose.
Together, the young family plans to soon move into a new home while Brett and Kevin start new jobs next week as they also launch a new plumbing business in Hebron.
It's funny how we think we have life kind of figured out and then life figures us out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Brett and Kevin will be on our show later in the hour to tell their unique story to Lakeshore listeners.
And is the Valparaiso family YMCA simply exercising its right to appease as many members as possible, or is the new Donald Trump-led America already flexing its muscles? Jerry wrote a column about this issue last week, and it's now being reported by national news networks, ironically enough. We'll update listeners.
Yeah, it mattered to me a couple weeks ago, and now it doesn't, and now I'm hearing from a lot of people across the country that matters to them now.
I have a feeling who did it.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Plus, I will give Lakeshore listeners a sneak peek in my weekend columns, including my Sunday column stating that social media is the crack cocaine of the communications world, and I'm profiling some social media personalities. Let's say that.
All that and more on today's jam-packed show. Yeah. If you want to join the discussion or offer a counterview to ours or order a nut roll from Gus and Roberta Flores to support their Bible ministry, Police Bible Ministry, feel free to call in 769-9577.
That's
but
right, folks.
First,
welcome back to Casual Fridays. First, let's get to Roberta Flores on the line talking about the Police Bible. Roberta, are you with us? Welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hi, Jerry.
Roberta,
how are you?
Well, you know, we are doing great, in part thanks to you and Gus. Last Saturday, we met with you and Gus at the Gino Steakhouse here on Route 30 in Merivale because Gus wrote the foreword for my new book on crooked politics in the region. And Gus is a great wealth of knowledge involving what's going on through the decades and corrupt politicians and all that kind of stuff. And I want to just thank him and meet you. And at the end of our lovely lunch we had with you and conversation, you just happened to mention about this police Bible ministry that you guys have been doing. And I go, what is that? And you're giving Bibles to police officers across the region, and you're funding it by making these walnut rolls. And even better than that, you brought Karen and I one of your homemade nut rolls, which I devoured
Yes, he did.
That night. It was so tasty, and I shared some with my family. So I want you, please, to just kind of tell our listeners a little bit of how this started and when it started.
Okay. Hi, Karen. I forgot to say hi to you.
Hi.
Well, as your article also said, that Gus has received the Bible from our oldest son and his wife, Nikki.
Yeah.
And he was very touched by it, and so we just decided to, you know, start with East Chicago, and we couldn't afford to do all 10, so we did 10 at a time and gave them out and then completed that department. And then my son is on St. John's Police Department. We decided to go do his, and then God just touched our hearts and said, just keep going. And so we did, because we know police officers, like all of us, go through storms of life sometimes and don't know what to do. And even today's world events, as you can see, it fills us with worry and fear, and then sometimes we don't know where to turn. So that's why the Bibles come in. They can find answers and peace within those pages, just like Gus and I have. And so we just feel like if we can touch just one police officer from each department, we feel like we've accomplished something. And that's where the nut rolls come in. We make those, and I think you should come over here and help some of those nuts, Jerry.
Whoa. Yeah, that's something else we learned, is that Gus Flores, this former police chief of East Chicago, he helps Roberta make these walnut rolls by going through the walnuts and, I think, kind of coring out that middle bitter part that makes them a little more bitter than they should be, just to make your nut rolls taste even sweeter than they normally do. That's an amazing. That's a very laborious task there.
Yeah, and we buy already walnuts that are shelled, but of course, still that inside dark part, you know, we take out. But we believe that the policemen, you know, are peacemakers, and God put them here on this earth for that, and that, you know, that was in their hearts to do, and just like my husband and my sons, and we just hope that, you know, this Bible can kind of comfort them and give them some peace sometime.
Well, you know, I talked to a couple of police officers who received the Bibles from you. And these Bibles, by the way, they're custom made. They have a name engraved, inscribed, I should say, maybe in the bottom of it.
And a police badge on the front.
Yeah, it's like their personal Bible. And whether they have one or not, this means something. I mean, it meant more than I thought. And as I mentioned earlier, that when Gus gave a couple of these Bibles out to East Chicago police officers, they actually teared up. Yeah. It means more than you would think, I guess, that at least somebody is looking out for them in a way.
Somebody beyond
God. Is we kind of care about them. I talked to a gentleman. He's a Corporal Jerry Patrick, who serves in the Dyer Police Department. And
he's a wonderful gentleman.
Yeah, he got back with me immediately. He said it floored me when Gus gave him that Bible. And to this day, he says, I can't help but smile as I think about what a wonderful and loving couple Chief Flores and Roberta are to those around them. They're an inspiration for me, and they have helped me keep my faith very strong. That's what I put in my column today in the Post Tribune. If you want to check it out, you can read more about this police Bible ministry. Did that name come from you guys years ago, or has it been around used somewhere else? I'd never heard of it before, police Bible ministry.
No, we just kind of thought of it ourselves. When we were doing the labels, we just came up with that name. So, I lost my train of thought here.
Well, Karen has a question for you, so it's okay.
Oh, the Bible. I was going to talk about the Bible. It's a beautiful Bible. It's the Old and New Testament. There's nothing different. But what's nice about this policeman's Bible is in the back, they have testimonies from different police officers. It has a policeman's oath, policeman's prayer, when to call a chaplain, how to fold a flag. Wow. So there's a lot of different information in the back, which is really nice that they can turn to also.
And currently, I believe you guys have passed out 400 or more of these Bibles to police officers across the region and other people. Is that correct? 400 or more?
About 400. We've done, like I said, we're on our 8th police department, which is Sherrillville. We're going to be doing that one now. And then we've had other police officers in other states from friends that said, oh, my brother-in-law is a police officer here. Would you get him one? So we ordered that. We have, there's a Bible in Arvada, Colorado. Well, actually, Boulder, Colorado. My brother has a neighbor that lives across the street who's a commander on their Boulder Police Department, and we got him one. So you know, little by little like that, it's added up, and it's about 400, I believe.
Well, I'm no mathematician, Roberta, but 400 Bibles, and you have to fund this by making nut rolls. How many nut rolls do you make a year?
Well, that's hard to count, Jerry. I mean, I just this past Christmas, I made like 260 nut rolls. So
I made three during a Christmas time, and it's a big pain in the butt. I mean, you got to roll out the dough, you got to blend the walnuts together with some sugar and some other stuff, right. And you got to roll it and bake it and everything else. Right. How do you pull off that amount of nut rolls? I mean, it must be a godly passion for you because you do it all throughout the year.
And you know what, Jerry? It's true. It is a godly passion. People ask me, aren't you tired of making those? And you know what? Believe me, and I say this from my heart, I could not do this on my own. I know God gives me the strength to do this because I couldn't do it on my own.
Yeah.
He gives me that strength when I do it, and I enjoy doing it. And when I give them out and people enjoy them and I hear, oh, my goodness, it's just like my grandmother's or my mother's.
That's exactly what I told you. My grandma Davich made the exact same kind, yes.
Yeah, so we just want to give God the glory for it. We want to just know that God touched our hearts. And, you know, God is love and God is our light, too. And when that light and love shines brightly, it changes attitudes towards your problems and challenges and people. And you know, only in his light can we see our light. And also it's hard to explain.
Well, apparently God is also a baker because you guys are doing 500 a year.
Yeah.
So that's quite amazing. Do you have a question, Karen?
Well, I was going to say, do you make nut rolls all year round, or is it just a certain season that you take your orders?
The walnut season.
I do, Karen. I used to just do them at holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. But now I do bake all year round because I have one lady that lives in Maryville, Nana. She's a wonderful person, and she gives me orders all the time, and she'll order 10 and 15 nut rolls at a time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so she's one that calls in quite often, and so I do now bake them all year round. And
speaking of ordering, I posted on social media that I'll be writing about you and this project, the Police Bible Ministry, and people are wanting to order online. And and did you get any orders this past week or so?
Oh, yes, I did, Jerry.
You're very welcome, Roberta. Compliments of Casual
Fridays.
That's why
you have to go over and help
with
the
nuts.
Are you
ready to come over here and put your apron on?
Yes. I will roll out the dough. I've got my, whatever that thing is called, the roller.
The rolling pin,
thank you. Couldn't think of the name. Well, I'm glad. And also, hopefully some of our Casual Fridays listeners will also want to buy the nut rolls, not only to enjoy them and get fat off them like I do, but also to support this Police Bible Ministry and get some more Bibles in police officers' hands. How can our listeners contact you to possibly order some more of these nut rolls of yours?
They can call area code 219-308-2975. And if I don't answer, they can always leave a text and just let me know, give them, you know,
because you're a 21st century kind of girl, aren't you? You do texting.
Oh, of course I do.
I never know. You know, I never know when I talk to people over the age of, maybe older than me. You know, I'll use me as the baseline, anybody over 54 and older. And I never know if they're going to text or not. And then we had lunch with you guys, and I saw you guys whip out your phones and text back. And I'm going, whoa, you're hip-hop happening kind of people here. So you could also text at 308-2975 if you want to text or call and order one of these nut rolls or 10 of these nut rolls and support this Police Bible Ministry from Roberta Flores and Gus. You know, Roberta, we want to thank you for everything you put out there.
Yes.
I didn't meet you until last week, and Gus always mentions your name. And every time I said your wife, he goes, her name's Roberta. And I go, yeah, and your wife? He goes, her name's Roberta. Okay, I got it. Her name's Roberta. Well, we'll meet soon.
But, and in Serbian, my name is Rada.
And I can't say that. I even tried that day because I can't roll my R's. Karen, can you roll?
Rada.
Oh, how impressive.
Very good, Karen.
Thank you.
Yeah. I come off very waspy. Rada. Yeah. Good job, Rada. But either way, well, Rada, we appreciate you being a part of our show, and thanks for sharing this story because you didn't want to do it, which it always compels me to talk to people like you because most people bug the hell out of me.
Yeah, she just wanted to give you a nut roll and just
go
say
home.
What it was for,
yeah.
And then that's
have
it.
A good day, sir.
Yeah.
You know. And but usually people are bugging me to, for columns and the show and all that. It was refreshing that you didn't want it. And actually, Gus had to quote the Bible scripture to get you on our show at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He quoted Matthew 5:15, which, of course, I know very well, but Karen probably doesn't. It was, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand and gives it light to all in the house.
Amen.
So in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So in other words, don't keep your light to yourself. Is that about it? Rada.
Like I said, we just give all the glory to God. We want to just praise him and thank him for all he's done. And I want to thank everybody that has placed an order and has ordered and supported our ministry in the past. I just want to thank everybody from our hearts. Thank you so, so much. We really, really appreciate it.
Sounds good, Roberta. And we're happy to be a part of the project, and we'll do an update like next week and see how many hundreds of these things you're selling in the next week.
And then Jerry will come over and he'll help you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I will be the official taste tester of every walnut roll. All right. Roberta, thank you so much.
Thank you, Roberta.
Thank you, Jerry and Karen. God bless you and love you guys.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, folks, listen to Casual Fridays. That was Roberta Flores.
Sweet lady.
Her and her husband, Gus, are making these homemade walnut rolls and so they could buy Bibles to give out to police officers across the region. They gave out 400 so far to 7 different departments.
That's a wonderful gesture.
If you want to be a part of the project, the ministry, as they call it, give her a call, 308-2975. Tell you what, let's take a short break here. When Karen and I come back, we're going to chat in a couple minutes with Brett Parlock, who figured he had his life pretty much mapped out as a single guy in the corporate world. And then he met Kevin Schaefer. They fell in love, figuring they had their lives mapped out together. And then another curveball came, and they adopted a baby girl from California. So we'll share their unique story and some other stuff on today's Casual Friday. Stay tuned, folks. Be right back.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom. Our show and the lecture are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart, and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
What matters most, Karen?
Family.
Family. And Casual
and
Fridays.
Money.
And money. It's a long list, but we'll start with family and Casual Fridays. Welcome back, folks. If you miss any part of today's show, no worries. It's re-aired at 7 o'clock this evening and also posted online sometime at lakeshorepublicmedia.org. Not .com. It's a .org.
Yes.
Tell you what, let's change gears a little bit, and we're going to introduce on to our Casual Friday show a gentleman I met just a couple days ago, actually.
Well, technically you met him
before. But I got to know him really much better a couple days ago. And I'm writing a column that's going to run in the Chicago Tribune webpage, probably tonight or over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And in print, in Monday's Post-Tribune, what we're going to be talking about. So if you miss any parts, so you could check it out on my Post-Tribune site. It's Brett Parlock and Kevin Schaefer. Kevin, are you with us?
Yeah, Jerry, I'm here.
How are you doing, Kevin?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
We're doing fine. Great. And is Brett with you also?
I'm here. We're both here on the speaker.
You guys seem inseparable. I hope we could. Our listeners can hear you, so talk loud and talk proud or something like that. I don't know. Since you're on a speakerphone. So, Brett, you know, when I met you again and got to know your life a little more, it seemed like your life was coasting along several years ago, and you kind of thought you knew where you're going with it. You know, you're a single guy in a corporate world, district manager. You went to, Lakeland, Florida, and Memphis, Tennessee for jobs, and then you went to China to do some teaching.
Yeah, actually, I grew up in Maryville, Indiana, and went to college at IU, Indiana University Northwest in Gary. And I was just dead set in kind of following a corporate path. And I was also, at that age, dead set in leaving Northwest Indiana. I let my corporate experience take me where it wanted me to go. And so, yeah, I moved to Memphis, Tennessee for a short time, went to Lakeland, Florida. And then right around the time Facebook launched, an old professor from college invited me to teach advertising and public relations in China.
Wow.
At the time, I was single and sitting in a condo all alone in Florida. So I said, why not? And I packed everything into a storage unit and made the trip.
That was the perfect time to do it, because in hindsight, you would never probably do that now.
Exactly.
And why would you? So I always tell people in their 20s especially or younger that you got to take advantage of those opportunities.
You do.
Because you don't realize that you may – your life may come to a point mm-hmm. where you just don't want to do that again, you mm-hmm. know? And of course, you don't want to do that now. So, okay, so your life is going along fine. You're in China. You came back from China to come back to the region. Did Godfather, like, draw you back into the region? You didn't – you know, was it for family reasons?
No, actually, it was the strangest thing. My goal was to return to industry. And so I was open to move anywhere in the country. And I connected with a recruiter, and we did a Skype interview and was offered a position through that Skype interview and was given a choice to move back to Northwest Indiana or to Kentucky. So it's a really small world when you interview for a position on the other side of the world and you get a job that brings you right back home where all your family is.
Yeah. I don't know if you chalk it up to fate or randomness. I always wonder that with people's lives, how that works out. So you came back to the region, and then on a social media dating site, you found this guy named Kevin, correct?
Yes.
And what was the first thing you text to him or you message to him?
Kevin, you want to tell that one?
Come on,
yeah,
Kevin.
The first message I ever got from Brett was, "Hey, you look like boyfriend material." And
well, who hasn't used that line, right, Brett? I've used that several times. Never got so lucky, though. And what did you reply, Kevin?
Well, I just said, I get that a lot. So it was really good. We messaged back and forth quite a bit, and from there it led to conversations over the phone, and we met for drinks a few days later. And I will never forget that night. It was incredible. And as soon as we left, I deleted any dating app that I had because I knew I'd found the person I was meant to be with.
Wow. That's really sweet.
That's a good quote that I missed earlier. I should have used that in my column. But that's really wonderful to hear. You know, we hear that the whole love at first sight thing and all that. But, you know, those things kind of happen. I heard a ding in my head when I met Karen. And I guess you guys kind of knew it from the get-go, right?
We did. And you know, here was the thing. When we had met, within that same couple weeks, I was offered another position within my company to move to Louisville. And I looked at this as just an opportunity of fate and chose to decline that position because I felt very confident that the person that I met that day was going to be my future husband.
Wow.
And what year was this again?
This was in 2011.
2011. And that was October 30th, I believe, was your first date, correct, or your first meeting?
Yes. October 30th was when we met.
And that day became kind of special to you both, I believe, right?
Yeah, we had our first date on October 30th, and then 2 years later, Brett proposed on October 30th, and we had set plans to actually get married on October 30th of 2015, but we actually ended up adopting a baby girl before then, so we moved up our wedding date, ran to the courthouse to get things done, and ended up preparing for the arrival of our daughter.
Wow. Now, the arrival of the daughter, Leah Rose, I believe, is a little more complex than that. You guys kind of filled out the application for the adoption process. And I've talked to other gay couples in the region, and it's like a years-long mm-hmm. process. And they're starting this ball rolling early, thinking in 5 years or 3 years or 2 years, it might happen. But it snowballed fast for you guys, didn't it?
Yeah, we were actually very lucky. What happened was Kevin was finishing his master's. It was in December of 2014. And I was bored, so I figured, you know, we have a wedding coming up in about a year. Let me just apply, because we were under that same impression that it could take years for an adoption to come through. So I applied in December. Kevin helped me finish the application when he came home. We got a call a week later to meet the eight folks at the agency in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And we were accepted into that program. Then the next step was really to create do the home study and all those things. Long story short, we get a call on April 20th from a birth mother in California, and we were picked, and Leah was due 6 months later.
Yeah.
And the birth mother, after you talked with her, and she's in California, I believe, she kind of knew you guys were the right guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think around the time that, I feel like this is fate, because around the time that we submitted our application for the adoption is around the time that our daughter was conceived. So I truly believe that she was meant for us.
Wow.
And does it feel...
And we were
does
part
it feel...
of the information packet for this birth mother. So we were one of several information or profile. Yeah. And her and her mom, so the grandmother was in a lot of support of us as well, just instantly said, this is the couple we want to raise this child.
Oh, my gosh.
And so for the next 6 months, we stayed in touch through video chats, and we went to virtually to every doctor's visit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what was really touching for us is that the birth mother told us all along that this is your child, and I'm just, you know...
think of me as your surrogate.
Think of me as your surrogate.
Oh.
These women are incredible women. We're ever so grateful to them in more ways than I can possibly describe in words. But they were so wonderful throughout the whole experience. And we got to know each other really well over the summer through video chat. And then it came time for Leah to be born, and we flew out to California.
And they actually invited us in to be in the delivery room.
So oh my
Kevin
gosh.
And I were the one, we cut the umbilical cord and were the first to hold our daughter.
Well, now that was quite an experience.
It was.
I'll bet you didn't think that, Brett, when you were traveling back from China to come back to Hobart, Indiana.
Say that again?
I'll bet you never thought that when you were that single man in the corporate world.
Never, never. In fact, when I first met Kevin...
Hey, you're kind of fading a little bit, your voices, by the way.
Oh, sorry, yeah. When I first met Kevin, I shared with him that I had no intentions on family. But the more I got to know him and the more I fell in love with him, I knew this was the right path for us, and everything has just really come together. We feel very blessed.
So are you still in contact with the birth mother? Do you send her updates, or how does that work?
She asked for a closed adoption.
Okay.
So she was very involved and wanted to, we talked almost weekly up to her being born, but immediately after that, she cut ties. The grandmother is on our, stayed connected through Facebook, but very little interaction.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And were you, even though going into this, you knew that was the arrangement, were you surprised that that was still the arrangement, that she just... that's your girl, and I was just a vessel for you.
Sometimes
and that's
birth
it.
Moms have second doubts about that kind of thing. Yeah,
you know, it's each own birth mother's journey, and whatever is the best for them. You know, there's many different forms of adoption that are out there, which is you can adopt through foster, you can adopt through private adoption, like we did, and birth mothers can choose to have an open adoption, semi-open, or closed. And I think they all arrived at that decision in their own way.
Sure. Yeah.
So currently you guys live in Frankfort, Illinois, but that may be changing soon. You have more curveballs coming to the family, don't you?
Yes. Actually, last week both of us accepted new positions in different companies that are bringing us back to Northwest Indiana. The plan is for both of us to move to Valparaiso. That's where we're house hunting, actually, the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we also partnered up with a good friend and launched a plumbing business based out of Hebron, Indiana.
That's with Josh Olson, correct?
Yes.
And it's called OP Plumbing LLC?
OP Plumbing, yes.
And I guess, of course, Brett, going back a few years ago when you were the single guy in a corporate world and traveling back and forth, you obviously thought you would have a husband, a baby, and a plumbing business. That was all part of your master. You tricky guy, you.
Everything has changed. Everything has changed. But we're very excited about the journey that we're on. Very excited to return back to the region where I grew up, where all my family and friends are. And, you know, really excited to see Leah grow up in that environment. You know, as for the plumbing business, you know, I partnered with a guy who has 15 years experience, does great quality work. And, you know, I'm really proud to partner up with him because I believe that together we're going to be really able to grow this business to support, you know, folks in the region.
Hey, before I forget, how can our listeners get information on the plumbing business if they need to?
Yeah, currently we do have a Facebook page. It's OP Plumbing. You know, I can send that link to you, but I would also like to give the direct phone number.
Sure.
If anybody has any plumbing needs.
Go right ahead.
Call Josh directly. That number is 219-796-7581. Again, that's 219-796-7581.
I have one more question for both of you. It's about your daughter. When you were in the delivery room in California and you knew you were going to become a dad in mere minutes, you must have been nervous and excited and all that, like any parent would be, any father would be. But when you actually held your daughter, especially you, Brett, because you didn't really think you'd have this kind of a life, did you become like an instant dad? Did your heart melt immediately? Did you forget all your nerves and worries and all that kind of stuff?
Instantly. In fact, it's funny you asked that. Almost the moment that, you know, we cut that umbilical cord and I held her for the first time, I felt like a pro.
Oh.
It was, all the nervousness was gone. It was just all about, what do I do now mm-hmm. to ensure that this girl gets the best life possible?
Oh.
And, you know, it was really funny that, you know, because we weren't the birth parents, we stayed in the hospital in a little
lactation consultant room is where they kind of put up a pseudo nursery for us.
Yeah.
So we were there for about 2.5 days.
Wow.
So it's me, Brett, and Leah in that room, and we got to know her in our first couple days of life and learned what all new parents learn about feeding and changing and everything that goes along with that. And an experience I will never forget.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
You know,
something I wrote in my column that should run online over the weekend and Monday in the Post Tribune is that from now on, guys, I think Leah is going to be writing out this map for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's going to dictate in many more ways than you probably think
yeah.
at this point how your life is going to change and all that. And it's a wonderful thing. So enjoy the ride, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Let you go. Take care.
Thank you.
That was Brett Parlock and Kevin Schaefer, live in Frankfurt, living in Valpo soon, about their daughter, Leah Rose. Tell you what, let's take a short break again. When we come back, we're going to revisit that issue about the Valpo family YMCA, because I'm still hearing from readers across the country now about that issue. And I'm going to talk about my Sunday column on social media personality profiles and why we're going to be purging some people. Stay
okay.
tuned, folks.
She sees, she says she wants everything she wants. I see she gets. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she owns, I bought her. Everything she owns. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she knows, I taught her. Everything she knows.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom. Our show in the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
And if you miss any part of today's show, you could listen to it tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. here at 89.1 on the Lakeshore. Or you could check it out online, listen to it at 2 in the morning,
yeah.
6 in the morning.
We'll keep you company.
Midnight, whenever you want.
We're good friends.
A couple of clicks and you could tune into Casual Fridays then. Listen to any of our shows, not just today's
yeah.
show, previous
We're
shows
We're there
too.
For you.
We are.
You know,
most...
if you can't sleep, you got nowhere to go, come on over, talk to Jerry and Karen. We'll talk to you.
Or we'll talk to you anyway. Exactly. We appreciate you tuning in either way. Yeah, we're listening to Casual Fridays. Social media, I'm writing in my Sunday column, is the crack cocaine of the communications world.
And I get it.
And I truly believe it's true.
Yeah,
it can be
it
an
sure
addictive.
Is.
Despite protests from social media users who swear they can give it up at any time, I've heard similar promises from smokers, alcoholics, shopping junkies. I can quit any time. Nah, I don't know. I question if you can or not. So with social media users, I know many who check their smartphone or digital device dozens of times each day, Karen Walker.
I'd be checking it for days.
To replicate the same feel-good but fleeting chemical reaction in their brain, just like with cocaine addicts who I've interviewed through the years. It's all about the next hit, or in this case, the next click. So I'm writing a column that's running Sunday about that. And I'm also mentioning a neighbor of mine who took me aside last week or so and talked to me that he doesn't do social media and doesn't have time for it, but he probably will do it soon because he's retiring. And once you get into that vortex, I think it's only a matter of time, then you get kind of swap up into it, right?
You can't help it.
I remember I joined Facebook, I think in 2009, when an editor suggested I get on, as opposed to being an editor, says, why don't you open a Facebook account and you could...
And you're like, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that. And you can maybe post some of your columns on there. Just put your columns in there. Well, that's not a good idea. You get some more readers online, a younger audience maybe, that kind of stuff. So I did, of course. And now, of course, I'm hooked. I do that and several other social media sites. I also do Instagram and LinkedIn.
Twitter.
I have a blog. So it takes a lot of time to manage these sites. And so I guess I could be also addicted as well as I'm talking about.
I think you are.
Oh, there you go. So if you're outspoken and opinionated, like my neighbor is, social media can either be a blessing or a curse is what I'm writing. Possibly both on the same day. Maybe in the same post. You could do both. I've seen it time and again on all of my sites, which I kind of manage each day with multiple posts. I use a handful of social media sites, and I really don't care if people agree or not with my perspective. In fact, I prefer it when they kind of don't, because their comments offer me a peek at someone else's viewpoint and maybe their values and their reasoning. Or the comments kind of reveal someone else's prejudices or their biases.
Sure.
If you let somebody talk long enough or comment long enough, you kind of get a good idea who they are. But the problem I've had recently is I only have one Facebook page, and it's a personal page, not a business page. So I have a limit, and they cap me off of how many followers or readers I can have. And once again, I'm coming to that limit, and I've had like 10, I have 10 or 15 requests lined up to be a part of this. And so I have to get rid of some people, I'm trying to say, I have to purge. And typically in the past, I would just purge some people who I don't even know they exist.
Exactly.
They maybe befriended me 3-5 years ago. They don't even pay attention to me.
And how many friends do you have, Jerry?
It's 5,000.
He has 5,000.
Well, that's the cap. They cap you at that.
So you have more.
Yeah. So so I'll be what I posted this morning is I'll have to purge some people. And I said it that way, purging, because usually I do kind of do it quietly just to keep my numbers down. Yes, I could get a business page. Yes, I know that. I don't want to have another page to manage, and I don't want other hassles. And I kind of like my little tidy page. It wraps up my business stuff, my columns, my personal stuff, my personal life, personal views and biases and prejudices.
Sure.
If you want to get a good snapshot, I guess, of kind of who I am, you could check it out on my social media sites. But lately, especially with the political uproar in the country, and a gentleman named Trump. Sure. Have you heard of him, Karen? His name is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You've heard
him
once or twice?
Him.
Yeah. So causing an uproar, and anytime I post anything about this gentleman, we'll call him President Trump, people, it just divides people immediately, and things get heated and hot and passionate. And some people just don't play nice in my social media sandbox. You know, they're calling names.
And they got to go.
And they're getting mad, and they're blaming, and I don't know. It's fine. And I am an instigator, as I put in my Sunday column.
Even some of your posts can be innocuous, I think. And then you still get 300 comments. I mean, they take on a life of their own, you know. Then it has nothing to do with you or what you posted. You know, then it just
trying to be an instigator or not. Sometimes I do purposely like instigate, and I'm wondering, I'm questioning. Here, I'm provoking you. Here, how do you feel about this?
You do that.
And other times I'm doing nothing at all, not even trying to at all, and it doesn't matter.
And then like you get some yahoos out there that just really try to get a rise out of you. Just sole purpose to get a rise out of you.
Well, sometimes they do, and then I delete them and I forget they exist in my life, I guess you could
Ta-da.
Say. Tom, could you weigh in on this for me from a third perspective, a third person perspective in a way of social media? How do you use your social media sites like Facebook or whatever? Is it purely personal?
Yes and no. I use it personally for business, and business is Lakeshore Public Radio. And so for us and what we do, we are not allowed to be partisan one way or the other.
Of course not.
We can't post pro-Trump or anti-Trump stuff. You can't talk about who you're supporting.
Wait, you're talking Lakeshore only, the Lakeshore site?
Like in terms of my own personal page. And
even your own personal page?
Even on my own personal page. And
that
so
goes back to Lakeshore policy, so to speak?
Lakeshore
with
policy
with the company?
With the company, with regards to us being an NPR and PBS affiliate with our sister station, Lakeshore Public Television.
Right.
We do get government funding. And so one of the caveats of that is much to the same reason why you can no longer politicize from the pew in the church, because the church gets tax exemptions as well from the federal government. You cannot politicize from public broadcasting.
I can understand that on the public page, but even your personal page?
Even on my personal page.
Does that go for all employees?
It goes for all employees. I am the social media hawk at the company, and so not a lot of people like me, and they don't like having to add me as a friend, because then I watch and see what they're doing. But I have to remember that, you know, if you post something and it reflects poorly on our core values, that can come back to haunt us.
True.
You know,
true.
You screenshot it and you can send that to a state rep or a state legislator or a U.S. senator or something who already doesn't want to support public broadcasting and say, hey, look at what they're doing and what they're saying.
That's interesting.
So it's an interesting dynamic. The other issue is in our company it says that if you have anything on your page that directly relates back to Lakeshore Public Media or any of its entities, that you have to adhere and follow to these rules. And on my page, it says I'm the vice president of radio operations at Lakeshore Public Radio. I will say this, though. The really nice thing about it is I don't get into Facebook arguments with people.
No.
You mean you purposely don't?
I purposely don't.
You
just
mean,
because
even on somebody else's page? Like
even on
my
somebody else's page, yeah, even on your page. And if I do, I'm sending them links that are that contain factual information. I'm not
you mean alternative factual information?
No,
or
just
real factual
real
information?
Facts with the hashtag real facts.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm very conscious and aware of what I'm doing. And I didn't always used to be like that. And I think maybe that's as I've gotten older and as I've kind of climbed the corporate ladder, so to say, here, that I've taken a different view on it. I've also, therefore, allowed myself to read a lot more. And I am a sucker. I am one of these people, and I posted this a little while ago. I love reading Facebook comments. Mm-hmm. I will go to Fox News's page. I'll go to MSNBC's pages, and I'll just look. And I'll read the top two or three, sometimes five comments, because, you know, we talk about bubbles, right? It's a way for me to go ahead and see directly what people are thinking, how they're saying these things, what the rhetoric is that's coming across to it, where it's not, you know, yes, I read probably 15 to 20 different news sources every single day, like the core ones that I really do enjoy that I read, that I listen to, and they come from all realms of the news world, for the most part, though, in the center. But it allows me to go ahead and get a snapshot of a moment in terms of how people are reacting to
I view social media as a focus group for me.
Yeah,
I do
it really
thing.
Is.
I post something sometimes specifically just to get a gauge of how people are feeling about this event or this issue, and then I'll write about it. So people don't really know that I'm doing that. Well, they do now if you're listening to this casual Friday show. But I will post something just to get an idea. It is a good barometer. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're checking out, right, Tom? Is it a barometer?
Yeah, I think so.
Of what's going on with a certain issue?
What's going on with a certain issue? So, if and when things happen further down the road,
then
it makes sense.
It does.
Going into Election Day back in November, I had made the comment to our production manager upstairs in the building, and I said, "Well, today Hillary either wins in a landslide or Donald Trump wins in a very, very close race." And what happens, despite what Donald Trump says, it was, in fact, a very, very close race.
That's those illegals. That's why it made it so close.
The voting.
Illegal voting, yes.
Of which there's also not been definitive proof of any sort of
proof. Schmoof. We don't need proof here.
You can't goad me, Jerry.
Sorry.
You can't goad me.
You know, I make mention of this, the reason I asked about the policy issues at Lakeshore and such, because the Chicago Tribune, who is my boss technically, also has similar issues. But because I'm a columnist, I don't always adhere to those because all of my columns are biased to a degree, prejudiced to a degree, opinionated to a large degree, subjective, maybe not objective as they should be, whatever. Sometimes they are. And because of that, my Facebook and social media sites reflect the same viewpoints. And that's different than what you're up with against, Tom, because even the Chicago Tribune has sent emails out to all the employees, including myself, saying you can't join any protest. You can't go to the Women's March that took place last Saturday. You can't do these
things. I've got friends and family that wanted to go, and some of which who did go, and they wanted me to attend. And I said, I can't. I can go as a member of the media with my badge, with a Lakeshore shirt on.
But you can't go as Tom
Maloney. I can't go as Tom Maloney, private citizen.
So you're trying to keep that wall there, that line for journalist and media, correct?
Because even if I showed up to a rally with 500,000 people, my luck is I'd be in the picture that makes the front page of the newspaper.
You wouldn't have your resting disgruntled face. You'd be smiling and happy. And they go, look at him.
Yeah, look at him. And so
he's
choosing sides. Regardless if I want to attend a protest or a rally or something, I don't. And I sent reporter Stephen Lattimore out to Valparaiso to cover the women's rally.
We drove past that.
Over in the square. And Stephen went as a reporter, as Stephen Lattimore, reporter for Lakeshore Public Radio. And that's when we go to these types of events, you know, we are there as a representative of the organization. Mm-hmm. More often than not, we're doing work. We're interviewing people. We're gathering sound and tape for stories, for features. We are always reporting. And I will say this for anybody out there listening as well, like just like Jerry said, for his columns and how he'll post content on Facebook just to get a reaction, reporters are always working. We're always looking for a story.
Constantly. You can't talk to me in a drive-through line or
no.
a grocery store aisle. I will quote you the next day.
Exactly. And so
Be warned. We
are always working in that regard. So don't be surprised if something that you've said or you've done sparks something. Because more often than not, it does spark something. And that's how we get stories.
We're always sniffing around, aren't we?
Talking with people. I like that. True. Sniffing around.
I'm always sniffing around. If you're tuning in now, we're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom Maloney. Running the board for us today, we're talking about social media. Something I wrote in this column is about digital personalities, that we all have our digital personalities, which we're probably likely different than our regular personalities.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people who are my social media followers, friends, readers, whatever you want to call them, users, I don't think they would act the same in public, not only to me, but with other people, as they do sometimes on social media.
Yeah, you know what I think is because you get these yahoos on your page that make these derogatory comments toward you and call you names, but you say, hey, you know, I go live every Friday. Why don't you give me a call?
Oh, we're live right now.
Give me a jingle on the jangle if you really want to talk. Get crickets each and every time. We've been doing this show, 5 years?
Maybe today will be different. We have a couple minutes left in the show, at least a few minutes left. Call in 769-9577. Join in the conversation.
It's not a social media
conversation. It's a online, on-air conversation, I should say.
Well, if you are so rooted in your convictions and you're going to spout all this stuff on Facebook with your name and your picture right next to it.
Yeah, gone are the days of anonymity.
It used to be
the Twitter egg. You could get away with doing and saying a lot.
And now newspaper chat boards.
Newspaper,
Those are vicious. Those are vicious.
And I guess your competitor, Jerry.
The Times stopped doing it for that reason. They stopped posting comments.
And we followed suit as well on our actual website, lakeshorepublicmedia.org, because A, we were getting spammed. B, because there were things that just shouldn't have been on our website.
And who has to go through that? You have to have some poor sap of an employee.
I am that
Tom
poor
Maloney.
Sap of an employee.
Oh, no. Who has to go through those comments and sift through.
I got better things to do than to troll through comment sections of a website that I have to manage and maintain. Yeah. Again, Facebook, I can look at, I can read, I can silently judge people. Right. I can learn something new, and sometimes I do learn from those comments where people will post links saying, hey, here's this thing
it's
that
vicious.
Counterbalances or counter-argues this.
It gets vicious on those comments.
But
it does.
Because I get that the Chicago Tribune and Post Tribune still allow the comments.
Yeah.
And once in a while, I'll check out even some of my columns, which don't generate a lot of comments, but when they do, it's usually vicious, whether about me or about the issue itself. What I was talking about, the Valpo Rezo Family YMCA, which I forgot to mention that
earlier. I think is really ridiculous.
Well, we've been members there for several years, and I don't watch the TVs there usually. I'll just walk past them, and typically they have CNN was on.
CNN was on two of them.
And I would just walk past and get an idea of what's going on. A little ticker tape at the
bottom. Yeah, the breaking news.
Yeah, it gives you an idea of what's going on. Well, a couple weeks ago, some members complained about alleged
fake, I have a feeling who
quote unquote fake news that were on. It was on CNN, and they complained to the Y officials. And the Y officials talked about it, and they took CNN as well as other national news sites off their television.
Gone.
So now when you walk past the TVs,
it's the Weather Channel, ESPN, Home and Garden TV.
Yeah, so no more national news channels from some people complaining. So I wrote about this last week or so, saying what happened, saying it's a shame. I don't think that the Y should really stop all the national news channels. You can play anything you want. I don't mind. Play Fox TV, Fox News, should say, and CNN, MSNBC. I don't care at all. And I rarely watch the TV, so it really didn't matter to me personally. I go to the Y, and I usually either run around the track or bike, and I read my stack of newspapers, and I go home. I don't care, generally. But I wrote about this, and then it caught wind because it reached a lot of conservative news sites across the country, and my name got bannered about by people I didn't even know they knew I existed, and now they do know, and now I know them, and it wasn't pretty at times, and they distorted some stuff that I wrote, and whatever. It didn't matter to me. But the funny thing is now this issue is national news, but people at the Y wouldn't know about it because they can't get national news. That's the irony. They wouldn't know about it, but that they're in the news if they're at the Y because they wouldn't find it out. So
yeah, I think it's ironic because I think behind it is like Trump supporters because CNN is fake news.
Well,
and they're always calling the people who, you know, aren't big fans of Trump's are crybabies. But aren't they bigger crybabies?
They could be
snowflakes, I think, is the term that they use. Snowflakes.
Yeah, but aren't, I mean, isn't that kind of a snowflake move? You know? I don't like CNN on my TV. Get away.
Mr. Pot, meet Mr. Kettle. They're both black, that kind of thing.
I don't want to be informed with facts.
That's how they sound, too, I'm sure. So some of these people, as I call them, digital personalities, I made a mention of this in my Sunday column. It's running on the Post Tribune. Actually, it ran already on my Chicago Tribune webpage. You can check it out. Some of these people, maybe they'll sound familiar to you. It's the troll. Do we all know the troll on social media? The person who usually comments on other people's pages. Usually it's not very pretty. It's offensive. They want to get a rise from people.
Yeah.
They're called the troll. How about the know-it-all? Do we know the know-it-all social media?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You always get that one Cliff Clavin from Cheers kind of guy.
I know exactly. Like, this one person is coming to my mind right now.
Who will comment on every page and go, well, officially, that happened in the November 29th, 1959, and here's the details on that. Or this.
Well, that's the person you should be talking to go ahead and learn about what's actually
happening. There you go.
Happening.
There you go. That's the know-it-all.
I support the know-it-all.
More than the troll.
Yes.
How about the instigator? That would be somebody that I would fall into that line because somebody is always kind of prompting. Hey,
yeah.
What do you think about this? And what
you
about
know, you
that?
Know who's you know who else are instigators in this building? And I'm going to call them out right now. Yeah. Gerard McClendon on the TV side.
Gerard,
Our CEO, James Mohammed.
What?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
He's posting stuff just to they call themselves conversation starters.
There
and that's,
you go.
That's
oh,
what
that's
they.
A nice
I should steal that term. I like that.
You're a conversation starter. But I enjoy seeing it. And again, it's. You know, you can't blame either one of them for being biased because there's news sources from all different angles that come out.
That's true.
From their pages and their posts as well. About
that's true. It's not too one sided.
It's not one sided at all. And that's really the great thing about being a conversation starter, Jerry. Is you can use any angle you want.
Yeah, that's true. I could use the conservative angle, the liberal angle, a political angle, the apathetic angle, which is generally my personality. Is like, meh, I don't care about most of this stuff. How about the victim? There's also the victim on social media. The person who's always happened to me, and I'm the victim of this, I'm the victim of that. This is another digital profile that you could read in my column today. And also, you have the creeper, somebody that people that will tell me in person, like, yeah, I've been reading your stuff for years. Really? Have
That's
you commented
me.
Once?
That's me. I'm the
no.
creeper.
You haven't commented once, but no, but they could tell me everything I've wrote and everything I've posted, and they just kind of creep along, but they kind of keep a real low profile under the radar. So all these different personalities I find are very interesting, and this is why it's the crack cocaine, social media is of the communications world. So that's what I wrote about. You could check it out on my webpage, check out my Facebook page if you want, or my other digital sites. Other than that, we appreciate – look, it's almost the end
are
of the hour.
Are we almost done?
Yeah, I know. That's why we got to curtail things here.
No.
But if you're one of those digital personalities, contact me. I'd like to add you to my column. I'm curious how you do this. Other than that, we appreciate you tuning in to Casual Friday. Today, we want to thank our guests.
Yes, thank you so much, Roberta and Gus Flores.
For
and
the Police Bible
for those
Ministry.
Nut rolls.
Yes. And also Brett Parlek and Kevin Schaefer for sharing their story of adoption with Leah Rose. And congrats to them.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, folks, have a wonderful weekend. Stay warm and...
Have a casual Friday.
Have a casual Friday. Take care.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday.
Good afternoon and welcome.